When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
The Los Angeles Lakers fought as hard and as long as they could, but eventually the Denver Nuggets able to reel them in despite a 15-point deficit at half in L.A., find their comfort zone, use the defense, use the fast break, and essentially wear the Lakers down. In a four-game sweep in the West Finals, and the Denver Nuggets, for the first time in their 47-year history as a franchise, are into the NBA Finals. You know they've been the chewed gum on the bottom of the NBA shoe for so long. The Lakers and the Nuggets come into this West Finals from two completely different trajectories. The Lakers are the franchise. They were in search of their 18th championship banner. They've got champions all along their storied history. Meanwhile, the Nuggets, they're breaking through for the first time. It's the haves and the have-nots, and a flip of the script. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have you with us here on our show. And we still have a lot to get to, like those Florida Panthers at it again. And Bobby were the chance inside the arena on Monday night. But first, let's talk West Finals and the old college try. Nah, it was more than that. It was everything the Lakers had to give it. And it was another really close game against the Nuggets, but unable to even get one game in this series. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Into our lives, we are pleased to welcome our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA, who was in the arena just a few hours ago. I'm assuming you're not still in the arena, Mike.
Nope, not anymore. I'm back home.
Well, so what was the atmosphere like as the Lakers are building this 15-point lead? Was there hope there?
Yeah, there was a lot of hope to start the game this series, to start the game tonight in Game 4. Amy, LeBron James, first and foremost, is the head of the snake, and that's where it starts. He came out with a historic performance in the first half, scoring 31 points. That's a playoff career high for LeBron James in year 20 at age 38. We thought we'd seen everything. And I know I've been hearing you. I've been listening to you on my way home. And then, you know, as I was getting comfortable back in my place after that just intense, highly focused game, hearing you talk about the tired legs. And yes, you're right. He played 48 minutes. He's been battling injuries, an older guy. I have the same aches and pains that LeBron does at this point. We're about the same age. So I feel it. But you have to give the Denver Nuggets defense credit. They made a huge adjustment in the second half. They triple-teamed LeBron every time he got in the paint. They were not going to let LeBron beat them at the rim. And that's what I saw in the second half, is that 15-point lead you just mentioned evaporated faster than my paycheck. And suddenly you have just Denver trapping and containing LeBron in the paint, and he was trying to defer to his teammates. And I kept saying this on Twitter all night, you need somebody else on the Lakers to step up. It didn't really look like Anthony Davis did it till late in the fourth quarter, and by then it might have been a little bit too late. And then again, I was a little frustrated with Darvin Ham to kind of complain about the refs on that last play in his post-game press conference. You didn't see LeBron do that. I've seen I saw it live, and I've seen the play now and replay many times. I just thought that was a great defensive effort by both Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, and it was the time left on the clock, because I think if there was 2 seconds left, we might see LeBron gather that ball and somehow get it back up and in, but that's how it ended.
as you point out, the Lakers and specifically LeBron able to attack the paint early. They ended up with 62 points in the paint, which is more than half of their output. But the tired legs, then not having the outside shots that went down to kind of open things up. And so the Nuggets, even on that last play, which is indicative, they're double teaming LeBron so that he doesn't get a clean look. As you think about the four games in this series, and only one of them separated by double figures in the end, what was the factor, what was the advantage of the Nuggets that put them over the top or that separated them from the Lakers ultimately?
Yeah, great question. You know, the Lakers must have TSA pre because they got out of those Western Conference Finals in four games quick.
Listen to you with the quips.
I pride myself on it, Amy, but you know, and I'll have a couple more for you here, but you know, a couple things to your point. First and foremost, as you mentioned, I believe three of the four games with less than a minute remaining were down to one possession. And late in the fourth quarter of game three, which was the one game, you know, that was a little jointed there. Game two was the double digit one you talked about. But late in those games, they were still one possession games. They were close games. So that brings up your question, which is that razor thin margin for error. And where was the difference? One thing you have to look at is, these Denver Nuggets, they've been together for a while. You know, Nikola Jokic, one of the reasons why LeBron, after he made his retirement rumors and hints, you know, his post-game press conference that I didn't run out with my colleagues to follow up on that, was I wanted to go hear Nikola Jokic speak. So I went over to hear him, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was drafted by the Nuggets. Jamal Murray was drafted by the Nuggets 7 years ago. These guys came up together. They've added some pieces here recently in Aaron Gordon and KCP and Bruce. And this team, though, now finally having the depth that it has, filling up the holes that they've got, they've played together for a while, whereas this Lakers roster is a newborn baby. It's only been around for 3 months. They've been figuring it out on the fly. LeBron only came back for the last two, three, four games of the regular season before this playoff push and run. So when it comes down to closing games late, the Nuggets have the experience. They have the superstars in Jokic and Murray to do it. Whereas, like you mentioned, the Lakers don't really know where to go. They have to rely entirely on LeBron James. And he was gassed, and it was just empty in his tank late in all four of those games. And so to put a little punctuation mark on this, to me, Darvin Ham's decision to go small with the starting lineup in game one and keep D'Angelo Russell, who was getting torn apart by Jamal Murray like he was string cheese, first three games of the series, a minus 53 when he was on the court. Oh. To me, that's the big difference, because if Darvin Ham makes that adjustment earlier, going to the bigger lineup to match Denver, I think the Lakers would have won a couple games in the series and we would still be having a series moving forward.
Yeah, his shooting was abysmal. And some of that probably has to do with the fact that he was chasing Jamal Murray for a good portion of the series. Michael Duarte of NBC LA, fresh off this game four between the Nuggets and the Lakers as Denver reaches its first NBA Finals in franchise history. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I made this point going back to, I think it was game two, that the Denver Nuggets are done getting pushed around. They have been one of those bad jokes. Not yours, of course, Michael. You don't make bad jokes. They have been one of these bad jokes in the NBA for a long time. And it's so fitting that Carmelo Anthony retires, right, on this Monday, because he was a Denver Nugget initially. But they put a lot of effort into it, never quite captured the formula, even going back to 2020, which we know still motivates them. They'd been an also-ran for such a long time. So they're done getting pushed around. We even saw them, well, Aaron Gordon, he never will back down from a fight, but the extracurricular activity, the jawing, the talking smack, the pushing back with LeBron. How did you see them toughen up in this series? How did you see them play mentally and physically tough in this series?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy, and I'm glad I'm talking to you, my favorite host, because I've been going through a flurry of radio hits this last month, and we're putting the punctuation on the Lakers season tonight and turning out the lights. But, you know, as great of a roller coaster story that this Lakers season was, as we talked about starting 2-10 and then all the trades they made at the deadline, a whole new roster, and then getting all the way to Western Conference Finals, upsetting a lot of higher seeds along the way, the better story here is the Denver Nuggets. And as I mentioned, a team that built themselves through the draft, that did it the right way, that is in a small market, that climbed the mountain so many times, including in those Carmelo Anthony days when he used to battle Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference Finals. to finally, and I wrote this in my story after the game, to finally slay Goliath tonight. You know, the Lakers and Nuggets have met in the playoffs seven, this was the eighth series, so seven times prior to this series.
Wow.
They lost all seven times, all seven times. The Lakers, they had never beaten the Lakers in a playoff series, and not only do they beat them now, they sweep them, and they do it to get to their first NBA Finals in their franchise's history, trying to take themselves off that list of just 11 NBA teams who have never won the title. Hopefully,
right.
I'm rooting for them. I know they might play the Heat, but I'm rooting for them because they've done it the right way, and they're a great story. And so I think we should be talking more about them and how they did it. And to your point, going out and getting a guy like KCP, who is so crucial to the Lakers championship run, the bubble in 2020, going out and getting a Bruce Brown, who you talk about physical and abuser, a guy like that, he was so integral to this team too. And then having veterans like Jeff Green that can come off the bench, and even guys like DeAndre Jordan and Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant, who didn't really play in this series. Those guys are veterans who've never won a ring, and they're going to be fighting for that too. So my cap is off to them and tip them. And the last thing I would just say is LeBron James and Anthony Davis said that this was the best team they've played in the 4 years they've been together.
Mm.
And that includes, you know, the Heat in the finals, the Suns that beat them in the playoff series a few years ago. This was the best team, they said, the most complete team they've ever seen in the playoffs. So that's a big compliment to the Nuggets.
Michael, watching the NBA as closely as you do, who did you think deserved to win the MVP award?
I thought it was Nikola Jokic. I read an article during that time where they took the names out of it, and they just said, here's the stats. Tell me who should win the MVP. And if you look at just the stats, without the names attached, Nikola Jokic had the stats. In my opinion, if you were blind just picking based off of that, how many games he played, consistency, almost averaging a triple-double throughout the season, the amount of wins he earned his team, to me, he was the MVP. Now, with that said, I have no problem with Joel Embiid getting it. What he did for the Sixers was remarkable. He's been so close so many times before. I like parity. I don't just like it if one guy dominates, you know, so long, like the Bill Russell era is and Kareem winning five. So I like that there was some parity here. And I like what you said, Amy. If Nikola Jokic had gotten the MVP, but you were telling him he wouldn't be able to play in the NBA Finals, he'd give all three of those MVPs back
yes.
to be able to have a chance to win one Larry O.B. trophy. So I agreed with the decision that it was Embiid, but if you just looked at the stats alone, I thought Jokic had the better numbers.
Mm. LeBron James, certainly an MVP in many ways, set the all-time scoring record this year. We know he's talked in the past about wanting to play with his son when he gets to the league. But specifically following this game and this sweep, no doubt he's exhausted. What did you make of his comments about his future?
Yeah, and I like what you said about the Tom Brady and not making an emotional decision, because I agreed with you that fresh off of this day, and I want to talk about what you talked about earlier, and that's Carmelo Anthony's retirement. LeBron knew it was coming, but I think he probably didn't see that video. And I don't know if you've seen the video that Carmelo released on Twitter earlier today to announce his retirement. But the end of that video where it turns from him to his son and how he's now living on through his son, I think that really resonated with LeBron James. I think hearing Carmelo, one of his best friends in the world, part of that draft class, like we said, with him and Dwayne Wade, and now those guys are both gone from the league, seeing that and knowing that maybe it is time for his son, and seeing that he just lost and it's fresh in his mind, I didn't just see his final comments as he walked off the podium as him hinting at retirement. Throughout his post-game press conference, when any of us in the media, and I was standing right there, were asking about next season or his future, assuming he was coming back, LeBron would, like, bite his lip, be silent, hold, have like a weird look on his face. I was like, what's going on with him? I picked it up right away that whenever he was talking about his future, he was weird. So I think if you were to ask him to make a decision right now after this game, he'd probably choose retirement. I also know LeBron James is a guy that likes attention. And so having the narrative for the next few days be about this, I'm sure he's not going to mind being in the headlines. And I do think, Amy, ultimately, he's under contract with the Lakers next season. If the Lakers can improve the roster, I think D'Angelo Russell, you know, he was a guy 2 weeks ago that Lakers would have loved to have brought back. I don't think you can bring him back now after watching what happened to him in this series. I think if there's any way to go get a guy like Kyrie Irving, you know, Chris Paul might be available. That's a veteran point guard.
Gosh.
They need a point guard, especially on this team, to lighten the load off of LeBron James. Fred VanVleet might be available as well. If you can bring in one of those guys and try to keep some of this depth and bring some good pieces in for LeBron, the fact that his son Bronny is going to be playing at USC, he's going to be able to watch all those games. Bryce is at a high school now, closer in Studio City. I think the allure to still play in L.A., wait for his son, and be able to watch both his sons play by still playing in L.A. this year. If he has the roster around him, I think that allure is going to be too great, and I think he ends up playing because I don't think he wants his legacy to end like this.
How would you evaluate the first season of Darvin Ham as the head coach of the Lakers?
Oh, that's a great question. It's hard for me to answer that now because I felt like he got outcoached by Mike Malone in this series. Amy, I just thought he was too late to make adjustments. I don't want to bring up the Frank Vogel years, but Frank Vogel, in my opinion, was a defensive genius. And if you go back to that bubble run, he changed the starting lineup for each one of those series. He didn't wait until game four. Going into the series, he knew, I need bigs up against Nikola Jokic. So he started Dwight Howard alongside Anthony Davis, even though the series before against the Rockets, he went totally small. So he's willing to do the matchups and play the matchups given to him series by series, not just keep the same guys on the floor or keep guys that have been starting all year there just to kind of stroke their egos. He was able to make the adjustments that would ultimately win this series. I think Darvin Ham, all playoffs long, was too late in doing that. And so, yeah, I know it's his first year, and I hope he really learns from it and learns that you just got to do what it takes to win and get an advance rather than play the feelings game with some of these guys. But overall, from where they started to where they finished in a first year with trying to build a new culture, new coaching staff, new offense running through Anthony Davis, having a completely different roster change, six players in, six players out, the trade deadline. You have to give Darvin Ham credit for guiding the ship the entire time because a lot of guys would have just jumped off and said, I quit and I'm out. And so I do give him respect for staying on the ship. But I do think had he made some more adjustments in this series, this could have been a 6-7 game series.
Okay, so Michael Duarte with us from Los Angeles. Before I let you go, you know we always get off the beaten path with Mike. What the heck has gotten into the Dodgers now?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Injuries plaguing the Dodgers, which we haven't seen for a while. And unfortunately, whether it's on purpose or not, this roster was built to not be as talented and as good as it was last year, which won a NL record 111 games. So right now they're really going through it. You know, Clayton Kershaw just recently lost his mother. Julio Urias goes to the IL. Dustin May goes. This was the problem I feared, and I think we've talked about it on this show, the depth of the Dodgers starting rotation and having to rely too much on the bullpen. I know they're on this torrid stretch. I know they just beat the Braves, so I believe they have the best record in the National League again. I still think they're a playoff team, but this roster is not as talented, not as deep as years past. So I want to see how they handle this next month or so and if they can kind of still stay ahead and keep pace because they could fall pretty quickly with the starting rotation they have now if these guys are injured for too long.
Not only do they have the best record in the National League, they have the best home record in the National League, which is saying something too. All right, Michael, before I let you go, because it's been a long day, and as you say, you are in such high demand right now. You're so popular. But does it make you feel good about our friendship and our relationship that I went to Sedona just because of you? I went to Sedona and took a bazillion pictures of the Red Rocks just because of you.
And did you love it?
I loved it. It's breathtaking. From the time that you're still 6 or 7 miles out of the town, all the way through the town, all the different rock formations. My friends and I, we stopped at various places and took photos of the rock formations. We took selfies with the Red Rocks. It was pretty incredible. But I just want you to know, I never would have done it if not for you.
See, I don't want the praise like you just did it for me. I just want my friends to experience just these amazing things and amazing places. And I'm also glad you ran that half marathon. So like I said, you're building up for the marathon. I want you to experience that too.
Oh, gosh.
Because there's no greater feeling than finishing a marathon.
I really do want to impress you, but I might die, Mike. So I don't know if that's in the future. You don't want me to die, do you?
No, I don't think you will. I don't think you will. Trust me.
Oh.
If you can do the half, you can double it up.
Okay, I'll consider it. I'll consider it. You can find Michael Duarte on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte. He is not only an award-winning journalist, but he's our LA guy for NBC LA, covers Lakers now, but also football, baseball, hockey, everything else going on. And he's one of our faves. We appreciate your time. I hope now you get a chance to sleep. But you seem kind of wired, though, man.
Yeah, after that game a little bit, but yeah, finally we can somebody call Fred again because we're turning out the lights on basketball, and we'll focus now to the other sports starting tomorrow.
All right, well then we will talk to you again soon. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Amy. Have a good show.
How many jokes? He's got the jokes. Always got the jokes. He's one of our favorites because he's so entertaining, and because here's the secret with Michael. He always listens to the show before he comes on. I don't know of any other guest who does that. And if we've had a few here or there, it's not as routinely, it's not as much as Mike does to get ready for the show, which is why I always appreciate him, because he's prepared not only with the material because of the events that he covers and his knowledge of the teams, but because he listens to us and he knows what we're doing before he gets on the air with us. So thank you to Michael. I know many of you look forward to his appearances as well. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our poll is expiring soon, so make sure that you check it out. It's about the 8 seeds in the East. One of them was already on the verge of a championship series. The other, well, it's now just one step away. I think that the cool thing about the two teams in South Florida is that they're defying odds and they are carving out their own path. Yes, but each of them has come so close only to trip up, fall short. That's a great motivator. You know me, I love these stories of redemption, whether individual or team. So we'll talk about those Panthers who've got a first from Bobby between the pipes. Bobby. Do you think his family and friends call him Bobby or just Bob? What about Bob?
I guess they're all Bobbies.
True. Right? It could be a family of Bobbies.
It's just a Bobby family. The Bob family.
It's the Bob family. We're the Bobs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And it's Sam Reinhart taking the draw. Puck pulled back near point. Montour down here on the near side, then down behind the net. Bennett off to the near corner. Kachuk. Kachuk in front. Reinhart, a shot. Top jump. He scores. A power play goal. Sam Reinhart just under the crossbar. And the Panthers strike first. Just past the game's halfway point. It's 1-0. Cousins will clear. This bounces into the Carolina zone. The final seconds tick away. And it's a 32-save shutout for Sergei Bobrovsky. The Panthers take game three. They take a 3-0 stranglehold on the Eastern Conference Final. And the Florida Panthers are one win away from a berth in the Stanley Cup Final.
Clinical.
A 1-0 victory for the Panthers here on home ice tonight. And they take a 3-0 series lead.
They don't ask how, they just ask how many.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
An exuberant Florida Panthers radio team, Doug Plagans and company there on the final calls, the goal and the final calls of what was a, could it be any tenser, 1-0 shutout of the Panthers over the Hurricanes. It's crazy to think that this series has been so tight. 5 overtimes. Now, 4 of those were in the first game, but 5 total overtimes, and now a 1-0 shutout. The margin for error is so slim. And before we hear from the Panthers, including Bob, in a family of Bobs, he was hearing the chants of Bobby, Bobby, inside the arena from 20,000 of his closest friends. But can you hear the frustration in Rob Brind'Amour's voice? They've done everything they could possibly do and just can't buy a win.
It's been 3 games. I mean, we can't do much more. I mean, we like how we're playing, clearly. It's just we got to find a way to put one in. And then, you know, I mean, defensively, we're giving up nothing, you know, really. In 3 games, you would have said to me, you got one of the highest, you know, the potent offenses you're playing, and you're giving them 20 shots a night, I mean, you'd be pretty happy with. It's just we're creating offense. And I think we hit, I don't know, felt like we hit a couple posts tonight, let me two or three, and we're, you know, it's there for us. It's just we gotta find a way to put it in.
What else can we do? What else can we do is essentially the question that Rob Brind'Amour is asking. And I'm sure many of the Hurricanes feel the same way. There's always a call here or there that could go the other direction. There was a possible high stick from Sam Reinhart. He's actually the one who scored the goal on the power play for the Panthers. And so you had that moment late that potentially could have set up a penalty. But that's not why they're trailing 3-0. Sergei Bobrovsky has been a revelation. He's been an anchor. A goalie who's playing this well gives a team such incredible confidence. Now, there's no such thing as impenetrable when it comes to a goalie, right? Because he's still a human being. He can get out of position. He can get screened. Sometimes pucks hit the post. But when you have a guy who is as stingy as he is, who's playing inspired, not only does it give confidence to the defense, but it allows them to take a few more risks, to be bold, to be aggressive, because they rely on him, they count on him. And in this case, Sam Reinhart, did it feel like the one goal was enough?
No matter what the score is, we're just trying to make it as easy as possible on him. You know, our game plan doesn't change. He's coming up with some big timely stops, what you need, and there are those breakdowns. So, you know, yet again, he comes up big for us.
He's been incredible all playoffs long. It's really incredible to see, and you know, it gives our team that much more confidence and that much more belief. Even if they have a big push, we know we got a guy back there that's gonna, you know, fight and you know, do whatever it takes. So it's a lot of fun playing when you have a goalie playing like that.
Do you remember how Bobrovsky had 63 saves in the overtime, four overtime game? Nearly went to five overtimes. 63 saves is how he started the series. And now his first career postseason shutout. He only required half the number of saves as what he had in the opener. But a shutout is a shutout is a shutout.
It's another, you know, great opportunity to play hockey. The building was great. It's great to see our fans. And my teammates did a great job, you know, all those little details, block shots, you know, got good sticks and the gaps and everything, all those small details. So it's definitely a good result for us, and it's a big team effort.
There's something to be said for momentum. And I know in sports, momentum is fleeting. A real good team can stop an opponent's momentum with a few adjustments with defense, for sure. But both the Heat and the Panthers, even as we ask you which one is on the more improbable, dubious run, the Heat are, 10-3 in this playoff run? 10-3, let's see, 4-4, yeah. They're 10-3 in this playoff run so far. Meanwhile, the Panthers have won 10 of their last 11. That also is confidence building, especially for the Panthers, who barely made it into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Panthers can advance to the first Stanley Cup final in franchise history since 1996. I was in college. The Panthers were a President's Trophy winner going back last season, but they didn't capitalize. So again, consider their arc, the frustration, the disappointment, the dejection, feeling like they fell flat on their face and failed, and yet they have the pieces, the veterans, the experience to recognize what they have to do when they get there. Now, I would say they got some help just to get into the playoffs. And there was a chance they were going to miss the playoffs. So they get some help from the Penguins, who don't take care of their business. But once they're in, once you're into the postseason, you're in. And you got the same opportunity as every other team. So, yeah, they could reach their first Stanley Cup final since 96 on Wednesday if they complete the sweep. That's crazy to think about, isn't it? That you had a sweep in the West in hoops. We could have a sweep in the East in hoops. We could have a sweep in the East in hockey. They're a game behind in the West, meaning the East started first, right? So the West comes up on Tuesday night. But right now, Vegas is up 2-0. So far, the team that's leading all four of these series has not dropped a game in this conference finals. Do you think it's ever happened? There's no way. It's never happened that all four were sweeps.
I don't think so.
There's no way.
You wouldn't think that'd be the case at this point in the playoffs, in the finals. I mean, that's why the NBA schedules the championship to start, you know, a week from now, because they expect it to go at least six, you know, at least five, six, seven, not swept in both series. That's unheard of.
Yeah, I would be stunned if the Celtics were swept. It may happen. It may happen because the game's in Miami. But I would think how they were humiliated on Sunday would play a role in the way they come out. Now, the Heat, they rally. Fourth quarter deficits are nothing to the Miami Heat, as in absolutely nothing. And if Jason Tatum doesn't get his act together in the fourth quarter, the Celtics are sunk. But I don't think I would automatically say it's a sweep. I would think the Celtics would be embarrassed to lay down in this game four that comes up on Tuesday. And yeah, Vegas and Dallas are a game behind, so the East started first. But they get back on the ice Tuesday now in Dallas. I'd also be stunned if the Stars were swept out. But, Bert, the first two games have been won in overtime by the Golden Knights, so that's how slim the margin for error and the margin of victory. So, again, take our poll. It's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter. What we're asking you is, considering their paths to this point, which team has made the more unlikely, improbable run? Also, if you would like to see what Pink Peony Power is, well, it's now up on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Those are my babies. They only bloom once a year for maybe a week and a half. They're almost entirely open. Not quite. There's still a few buds that haven't bloomed yet. But they make me so happy. I wait all year for them. And they come at the same time that I'm celebrating my anniversary as a homeowner. So it's been 3 years. And they just give me joy. They give me such joy. I can't really adequately describe how much joy I get from the flowers at my home.
It gives you that tingle.
No, it's more than that. But these flowers, because of what they represent, because they were blooming when I signed the papers, they're special to me, so special to me. I don't really have to do much to them other than prop them up so they don't fall over because they're heavy. The flowers are heavy. So you have to put metal grates or metal supports on legs around them as they're growing up. And I still didn't probably support them high enough because they are, after the rain, they did droop over some, but on Monday, they stood back up again, proud and tall and pink and powerful. So check them out on Twitter or Facebook. My gift to you on this Monday, morphing into a Tuesday. We're glad to have you with us.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The lowrider is a little higher.
We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Alex in Virginia wants to weigh in.
Hey, what's going on, Amy? Us as humans, we like to see these numbers. Numbers will be able to figure out what quantitatively.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was that number, rate. Alex? I'll give you another shot at that number.
Quantitatively.
Quantitatively.
Quantitatively. Thank you.
No rider.
guys a little slower.
You don't have the internet, Frank?
No, I don't have the internet, Amy.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry you're missing out. It's a great new tool.
Oh, I know.
It's Awkward Hour here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Matt, what do you think? Matt!
I'm sorry, A-Law. That's the second awkwardness that we've had.
Hey, Peter, did you know you're part of our Hall of Fame induction?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry. You just caught me with a little bit of muffin in my mouth. I just got away from McDonald's.
He was great radio.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
And people wonder why we don't take more phone calls on this show. Okay, I have to ask you a question. Honest question. Before we tell you about our great experience over the weekend, we didn't have a chance to do it on our Sunday night show. And our audience is different on Monday night anyway. But we've gotten a great reaction, so I thought we would talk about it. But before that, this tweet, not quite directed at me, but includes my handle, which meant it ended up in my feed. It caught me off guard, I'll be honest. So here's how it goes. You know, when you quote tweet, it turns into this big old thread, right? So I don't know where this thread started or how, but someone named KJ Smith put the tweet out there. What sounds do you fall asleep to? Which in and of itself is an interesting question, I suppose. I'm a person, in case you're wondering, who does not have TV or radio on. Maybe because I work in the business, that does not calm me down and help me to sleep. I usually have a fan on, so that it can mask whatever outside noise there is during the week specifically. At night, my neighborhood is very quiet, but I do like to have a fan on. It doesn't make a lot of noise, but it covers over Penny snoring or her moving around or just the funny noises she makes when she's sleeping. And so there's a fan generally, sometimes the window's open, but I just like quiet. If I need to, I put something over the ear that's not buried in the pillow. So I'll sometimes put sleep pants, like a rolled up pair of sleep pants over my top ear during the daytime in case it's loud outside, someone's leaf blowing or mowing the lawn or trucks are driving by, I don't know, whatever it is. But I generally don't fall asleep to any sounds actually other than the fan, which I say it doesn't make a lot of noise. So Dante quote tweets this question, what sounds do you fall asleep to? And he writes, sports talk radio, usually A-Law radio, wait for it, her voice is so soothing. Jay just made a face. He clearly does not think my voice is soothing. Don't even act like you didn't make a face, you liar. You're trying to pretend like that wasn't a face. I saw your reaction was like, oh. Not soothing.
That was more to the context of the tweet where I wasn't sure if he was making it as like an insult or if it was going to go the other direction. When he went and said soothing, was it?
No, when I said the word soothing, you went, oh, there was a reaction. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, you did. I was looking right at you. Jay's trying to lie his way out of this now. It wasn't even a Sergei Bobrovsky kick save and a beauty. He made a reaction, a face that essentially was a, oh, with a frown. It was a frowny face. It was a frowny face. Dante says, my voice is what he falls to sleep to most of the time because it's so soothing. Now, I have no problem with people falling asleep to the show. It does not bother me at all. First of all, if you fall asleep and the radio stays on, guess what? We get credit for the ratings and time spent listening. Even if you aren't listening, the fact that your radio is still set to our show means that counts. Those ratings, they accrue. So we're good with you falling asleep to our show. And if that's what you need, great. I'm all about giving you what you need. A full service operation here on After Hours. I get it. Because I know these hours are hard. But soothing? As in dulcet? As in calm, as in quiet. I don't even have an indoor voice. And while I generally don't rant, I'm not a ranter. I hate hot takes. That whole brand of radio is not my thing. You know me better than that. I don't know that my voice doesn't generally rise and fall. I laugh. How can anyone be sleeping while I'm howling with laughter? And I do sometimes when I make up words. I absolutely laugh at myself. What was the word last week that I laughed at so hard that I couldn't? Shoot, what I was it?
It was a good one.
Nuggets and was it nuggets, luggets and nakers? No, it wasn't that. It was. I essentially switched the first two consonants of a couple of words and had them backwards, but I don't remember what it was. Who did the Nuggets play last round? They didn't play the Warriors. They played the Suns. Right. That's what it was. It was Suggets. No, it was Suggets and Nuns.
Right.
That's
right.
What it was. It was it. Suggets and Nuns. So I transposed the two consonants and made up two words. And once I said it, I couldn't stop laughing. How does anyone ever remain asleep when I start laughing? Or when Kawhi is laughing? Or when Steph Curry's laughing? Or when Tom Brady's laughing? Or Mike Tomlin's laughing? Exactly, right on cue. We're like that. I don't know how you remain asleep when one of us is laughing. But if that's what you need, and if Dante, you believe that my voice is soothing like Delilah, I don't hear it, but I am sure happy that we can keep you company. Also got a really cool tweet from Atlanta tonight. A fellow radio host, not in sports. He says, love your coverage, love the show, listening to you between my radio breaks, LOL. So I'll excuse him because he doesn't recognize that LOL is my pet peeve. But Reese, thank you for listening. Compliments from fellow radio pros always mean a lot to me. So you have a great show as well. I'm full on P&E power. Coming up, our unique Saturday night experience. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer? Check. Motorized solar shades? Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 40% off selected products. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only six organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.